Blog Talk Radio.
To the Wedding 101 radio show. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. I own a music company, David Rothstein Music. Our website is drsmusic.com. This program was designed to be a helpful resource for both brides, grooms, as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding vendors in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning: photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow wedding professionals. If you have an idea for a guest or topic, please let us know, and we hope you enjoy today's radio show. Our guest today is Max Zuleta from Art Below Zero, and he's going to be giving us some insights into the world of ice sculptures for your wedding. Let me tell you a little bit about Max. Master ice carver Max Zuleta's superlative ice sculptures transcend the common. His clean, clear, and pure visions regularly push the limits of ice arts. Max's masterful creations are reflective of his celebrated artisanship and great passion for ice. As an artist, he is among the uniquely aligned to his soul's purpose. Ice sculpturing since 1987 and recognized internationally, Max is ranked among the top ice sculptors in the world. His acclaimed and award-winning ice carvings have been featured in competition and exhibits in Alaska, Belgium, Canada, Colombia, France, Germany, Holland, Mexico, and Venezuela. Max regularly dialogues with many of the world's great ice sculptors, providing a continuous exchange of ideas, tools, and techniques to remain at the avant-garde in ice sculpturing worldwide. And once again, we are thrilled to have Max here as our guest, so we're great to have him on the show.
Hi, good morning. It's a pleasure being in this awesome show. Thank you.
Great. So it's very appropriate that you were here today since we just finished a giant snowstorm here in Chicago and plenty of ice to go around. Now, you're originally from Venezuela, which is not necessarily a place where people would think about cold weather, not to mention ice. How did you get started in the ice sculpturing business?
Well, a very long story, but I was a kid. I was about 14 years old, and I used to work while I was going to school. I used to work in a catering company, and they had this philosophy that everybody could be replaceable. And at one time, I found this book, this ice sculpting book, written by a Japanese in the 1960s, and it shows step by step how to carve basic sculptures, swans, eagles, fish. And I thought it was very, very, I just get very excited about the idea right away. And there was nobody doing ice sculptures at the moment in that company. There was usually the executive chef of a five-star hotel has some knowledge of ice sculpting. And so I just started doing it just for fun over the weekend. And within a few years, it became my profession. We started getting more and more orders, and not only nationally, but internationally. And I started going to competitions and exhibitions. And that just by in exchanging ideas with sculptors, with other sculptors, and just looking at their techniques and their tools, and coming up with my own tools and my own techniques, that's how we got involved into it.
And why is having an ice sculpture such a great thing to have at a wedding? What really does that add to it?
Ice sculptures have a really incredible memory footprint. Ice sculptures, when you see a beautiful ice sculpture, it's something that you will remember, that people will talk about for many, many years. It gives you a different sense of time and place, because it's something that it's changing continuously. And that gives you a different dimension in the product. So you just I don't know. There's something in our brain that says, I'm gonna enjoy this because it's changing or it's melting at the moment. If you talk to anybody that has seen an ice sculpture, they will remember the first time they saw an ice carver when they were 7 years old, or the first time they saw it in a cruise. It's something that will leave a very spectacular memory footprint in your guest.
And the fact that it's so really unexpected, I think that's certainly a surprise element. I mean, people are used to seeing flowers and beautiful chairs and decor and things like that, but when they walk into the room and here's this gorgeous ice sculpture really designed with some elements of what the bride and groom love, I think that's really takes things to another level. The element of surprise, I think, is certainly something that that a great ice sculpture like the work that you do really does. And by the way, the website for you guys is artbelowzero.net. If you'd like to take a look at some of their fabulous work and find out a little bit about the process, you can do that. And the phone number is 847-746-3673. That's 847-746-3673, artbelowzero.net. So let's go through some of the other things in terms of the actual process of getting an ice sculpture for someone's wedding. How does a bride decide which design she'd like to have? I mean, do you have kind of set things to kind of go through, or is it really a matter of using the bride's creativity to see what, starting from scratch and see what you can come up with?
Well, we have a website that has about 800 different images. So Jeannie, my partner, my wife in the company, she talks to the client and to the bride, and she collects a wish list. So in that wish list, we gather as much information as possible from the bride and groom. If their taste is minimalistic or contemporary, or if they like ornate sculptures, or if they want something functional where they can place seafood in the ice or pour drinks through the sculpture, or if they want an ice bar. So she collects as much information also from the invitations. We mirror the monogram in the invitations and the style of their invitation, the kind of font that they are using. So we gather as much information about the bride and groom and their taste, and we come up with a design that fits that event. Also, by having the gallery, the ice gallery, that allows Jeannie browses through the gallery with the client, and then we gather more information on what kind of sculptures. And usually, the bride will choose elements from different sculptures, and then we mix them up in one concept. When you mentioned before about the element of surprise of having a nice sculpture, there is an element of surprise even if it's a swan or a classic sculpture. But we took it to a different level. We're doing a lot of functional sculptures where guests actually have to interact with the sculpture, and that is. Completely unexpected. The technology has been allowing us to do all kind of spectacular concepts where the client is not only looking at the sculpture, but they are enjoying, they are interacting with the ice or serving food with the ice. Or sometimes we also have this ice graffiti wall where guests can engrave their name in a wall of ice as they come into the wedding. So it is the technology has been allowing us to do some crazy new concepts that are more of an element of surprise.
Wow, well, that's really fun because I think people love being a part of some kind of part of the wedding as well, and not just seeing something on a wall, but the fact that you can interact with it is amazing. And the graffiti idea, I think, is very clever. I'd have to like to see that in person. I'm sure there's examples of this on your website too, right?
Yes.
Okay, once again, it's artbelowzero.net, and I love it when they have they've got it where the drink actually runs through the ice too. I think that's just amazing, and it's just like anything else in the world. I'm sure there was all kinds of conventions and magazines and websites all about the latest technology or people that are pushing the envelope to really create some new ideas, some new ways of doing things involving art. And there was an event recently with Wedding Guide Chicago where they had a DJ booth all in ice, and they used lighting as well to really make it kind of a blue ice kind of DJ booth, and that was very, very creative. How does lighting actually come into play when working with ice and displaying it?
Well, it's a huge part of it. We use technology has been allowing us to save energy by not using regular bulbs, but now we're using these LED lights. We use very little energy, and the concepts are just unlimited. We have these color changing lights that make the sculptures shine through the whole event, through the whole wedding, mm-hmm. and change color continuously. And ice has this beautiful prism effect. So if you put a light on it, it will multiplied by 10 and travel through the walls of the ice, through the inside walls of the ice. So it's a really amazing effect that we can do with these new LED lights.
And it also prevents from actually melting the ice at the same time, because LED, if I remember correctly, is not very hot, right? You can actually touch it.
Yeah, it doesn't produce any heat. You're right. We 20 years ago, we had these regular bulbs that will make a little hole through the ice. Now we don't have that issue anymore. It's a completely cold light, and it just enhances the sculpture.
Yeah, just like anything, if you stick around long enough, the technology is going to get better. People will come up with new ideas, and much like my dad's transition from the $1,200 VCR, which he had, which blinked midnight for a majority of my childhood, and the top loading, remember that, and the remote control, which went about 6 feet away from the unit, and now you've got everything is just Blu-ray, or you're just downloading movies, and you know, things have a way of kind of evolving, and the LED lights has certainly given you another tool to use in terms of expressing your creativity through the ice. And it's a lot of fun, and it's your imagination is basically all that could be holding you back, you know, in terms of if you can come up with it, if you can envision it. Now the technology and the tools are there, and you have all the experience and the know-how to be able to bring people's visions to life.
Yep.
It's really amazing. Let's go through some of the technical aspects of putting this together. How does a bride, once you've got the design put together that you know exactly how you want to have it, how long does it take you to actually carve the ice for the wedding? Is it a matter of how large of a piece it is, how intricate it is? Is there a general time frame? And do you do it just like the day before, or is this something that you do a few weeks out, and then you have it frozen, ready to go, and to be delivered?
With time, it all depends on how big is the project. So sometimes the bride will order just one block of ice, or sometimes they will order a 20-foot long ice bar. And so it all depends on how big is the sculpture, or if there's one or several of them, and also how long will it take us to do the programming, designing, sketch, carving, delivering, setting up the sculpture. I would say a classic sculpture takes about 4 to 6 hours regularly, and but it can go to a project that will take 2 weeks of work. If it's a big project with a lot of programming and graphic design, but regularly about 6 hours of work, because I try to use the my technique is not in a one step technique, just getting to the block and carving it. My technique is more like I will do a little bit of the sculpture, of the engraving. Let's say we do the monogram in the sculpture, and then that takes about a couple hours for the engraving to get solid, to look like white eyes in a clear block of ice. And then we do the outline, and then we do the details with chainsaws, die grinders, chisels. We also have a CNC machine, and that allows us to do spectacular logos and the monogram just perfect.
And do you use computers a lot before you actually start dealing with the actual ice itself, in terms of the design work? Does that come from sitting down in front of a computer and laying everything out and seeing exactly what you need, what your steps are going to be, or do you kind of sketch things out with pen and paper and then just kind of jump to it? How high tech do you guys get over there?
We do at the beginning of the stage, we do a lot of work by designing on paper, by drawing on paper. But then eventually that paper, we scan it, that sketch, we scan it, and then we translate it into the CNC program in a CNC computer. It gives us a lot more freedom to do the sculpture as precise as possible, as clean as possible. So there's a little bit of everything. We started with a pencil and paper, and we ended up with a big CNC machine, which is a computer numerical control. So it's basically the computer connected to a router. But there's a little bit of everything. There's the CNC, there's chainsaws, chisels, die grinders. We use anything. Like last week we got this little tool that it's a bit that we put in a Dremel, in a kind of an industrial Dremel, mm-hmm. and it makes this effect of bubbles in the ice. So it looks like there's bubbles frozen in the ice. So whatever we can come up with or it's out there in the market, we'll get it and we'll play with it and incorporate it in our technique.
So you're really kind of you're an artist, but you're also kind of a surgeon in a way with all the different tools you're using, all the different preparation, trying to figure out the best strategy to get the final result, right?
Yeah. One of the beautiful things about this technology or the communications right now is that we keep and through Facebook we keep a good relationship with sculptors from all over the world, and some of the tools that we use cost thousands of dollars, while
wow.
some other ones are just basic, like one sculptor in Japan may come up with a new tool that you can make it yourself in your kitchen, and we can make a different texture with it. So we learn a lot from other sculptors. We also share a lot of our designs with carvers from all over the world. So
yeah.
This in exchange of ideas and techniques allow us to have a huge arsenal of anything from little tools to huge machines. But it just makes our life a lot more fun, because there's no There's no way of getting bored. There's no way of hitting a wall in creativity.
Mm-hmm.
In art, you can spend your whole life learning new ways to express yourself. And ice gives you that freedom to spend your whole life just trying new things and different concepts and different approaches. And ice also has this little fourth dimension thing that once you carve the sculpture and you're done with it, I'm done with my part, sculpture starts changing through the event. It starts evolving. So it gets life by itself and it starts carving itself. So I sometimes go back to the event and take a picture at 2 a.m. how the sculpture looks at 2 a.m. and the change is just dramatic and it's just beautiful, the kind of shapes that the ice comes up with.
That's amazing. And generally, how long does the ice sculpture last at a wedding? How many hours?
Usually, in a room temperature, mm-hmm. They are about 7 to 9 hours that will be in really awesome shape. But for the block to completely melt, it will take more than 24 hours. It's usually a 300-pound block of ice. So it takes a long time to melt, but the details or the engraving or, the feathers of an angel will start losing shape in about 9 hours.
9 hours, okay. What is the general cost of an ice sculpture, and what are the things that affects the cost? Is it how intricate it is? Is it the size of it? Is it how much lighting is involved? Or what are the main factors that come into consideration with giving somebody a price quote?
Our prices start at about $550 for a one block of ice. There's many factors in the location of the event, how intricate the design of the sculpture, how long will it take us to program the sculpture or to design the sculpture. There's many elements in it. We have about 800 images on the website, and the bride can choose a classic sculpture that we already have in the website, or they can choose a brand new one and come up with a new concept. And actually, probably 95% of our sculptures are custom designed specifically for that event. So it all depends on how intricate you want to go in the design and how big is the sculpture.
Okay, and I imagine one of the trickier things is transportation, and that's got to be. I'm sure you have special trucks and special packing cases and stuff that you use. How is that general? What's that process like? Once you finally finish the piece. Is it as soon as you finished it, then a couple hours later it goes to the wedding, or is it done a couple days ahead of time? And how do you transport it to the actual wedding itself?
Okay. I try to have a sculpture done at least 5 days in advance, but we do get a lot of last minute orders, so that's why we try to stay ahead of orders, so in case we get a last-minute order, we can do it. We have a two big freezers, so that allow us to do sculptures ahead of time. Regarding transportation, what we do is we wrap the sculpture in plastic, and then we place it in fitted cardboard boxes. These boxes protect the sculpture, it insulates the sculpture, and then we can drive for 3-5 hours without the ice melting at all, just getting there completely dry. We cover the sculpture with thermal sleeping bags. Sleeping bags keep you cold or warm. They are insulators.
Uh-huh.
So once we cover the sculpture, we can dry it for 3 to 5 hours without a drop of water. When the distance is longer than that, we just use dry ice and just insulate the sculpture as much as possible, and that allows us to dry for like 17 hours without a drop of water.
That's amazing. And I imagine the studio where you're doing all the work must be a very temperature-controlled environment. And do you wear gloves or hats? Is it everybody? Are the secretaries answering the phones wearing parkas? I mean, how do you keep it to be a comfortable environment? Yes, and at the same time, be able to have a place where you can actually work on the ice, and it's not going to melt while you're working on it.
My freezer is about. I have two freezers. One of them is for sculptures that are already finished. And I keep that one very cold at 5 degrees, just because when we load the sculpture is super cold, and it just guarantees a very long time in transportation, well, setting up the sculpture and all that. I have another freezer where I work. I actually work, and it's for me a comfortable 20 degrees. And then we control the humidity in the freezer. I spend about 10 to 12 hours a day in there, so I am. You can barely see my eyes. I dress very warmly and unsafe. When I was a kid, I used to carve in very different conditions. And right now we use belts for lifting and ear protection, eye protection, all kind of gear that we can use that will guarantee that I'll be able to do this for 25 more years.
Yeah, and are you mainly the person doing the actual sculpting yourself? Do you have some assistants that work with you if it's a really large project? Do you have a number of people that are all working on the same sculpture at the same time? Like somebody's doing this aspect of it, you're over there doing this, or is it pretty much a one-man show with you?
For everyday design, for everyday sculptures, I am the only one in the freezer. For big projects, we do, like sometimes we have a winter festival where we have to carve in front of people, or we may have to carve a sculpture that is about 30 blocks of ice and that's about 10 tons of ice. So in that case, we subcontract other ice sculptors locally or internationally, and they help us with going through big events. But in the everyday production, I am very, very picky and very, very demanding. So we it's just better if I work in the freezer. We have a really, really good relationship with Jeannie and I, and she does all the phone calls and contracts and design, and then I am in the freezer. That's how it works better.
Wow. So in your refrigerator at home, do you have a tiny refrigerator and a giant freezer? You have it backwards?
Yes, we do.
You get a lot of frozen foods, I imagine, right? And always have ice in all your drinks and everything, I imagine, huh?
I actually don't use ice in my drink. That's a different story.
I'm sure you like to separate, get away from ice as much as possible, right?
Well, I'm more of a hot chocolate kind of guy.
I imagine. I imagine you must have that going quite a bit. So that's very funny. And is there a minimum size amount for a sculpture? You had mentioned there was one that was $550. That's just basically one giant block that you can. And what is the size of that one block for the smallest one that you have? What are the dimensions?
The one block is about 300 pounds, and it's about 40 inches tall, 40 by 20 inches wide. And once we place all the lights and all the equipment, the tray, it goes to about 44 inches tall. And that is the minimum order. It's a one block sculpture. Or we can do, sometimes we do centerpieces where we place a sculpture in each table.
Mm-hmm.
And those run for about $75. And the minimum order for those are 12 centerpieces. And we can also engrave the name of the bride and groom or a monogram. And these are about 18 inches tall sculptures that go in each table. And we can also place flowers or freeze flowers inside the ice.
Wow.
We make our own blocks of ice, so we can insert pretty much anything you can imagine inside the ice.
So do people come to you with like a photograph of maybe the two of them or a skyline or maybe their favorite pets or their family or something, and then you sit down and you kind of work out how you could possibly do that, some different design elements, and then you give them kind of a proof? Is that how it goes? And then from there, once they sign off on the proof, then you go into production of it. Is that correct?
Yes, we actually had a project a few weeks ago where the groom was from New York and the bride was from Chicago, and they wanted to incorporate elements of both cities, and they get engaged at the Brooklyn Bridge. So we started with the Statue of Liberty and the the Brooklyn Bridge with photo frozen in ice of them getting engaged at the Brooklyn Bridge, and then that went into the Chicago Bean and the Willis Tower. So it was a whole. It was a project that was about 15 feet long, and it had elements from New York and Chicago and the bride and groom and how they get engaged. So people could see. Pretty much, we put the whole story in ice. We usually do a verbal design, and depends on the size of the project, we will do a sketch, and the client approves the sketch. It's just sketches are a little bit complicated because it's once you see it on paper, it looks that looks okay, but once you see it in ice, in the real product, is when, wow, they are just amazed of how, it's just hard to show how spectacular ice is on paper.
It is. It's like describing some beautiful sunset or the Golden Gate Bridge or the Grand Canyon. You can talk all day, but until, or even look at photographs, but until you're actually standing in front of it, I mean, that's got to be a great moment to for the bride to actually see it. When is the first time they see the final results? Is it actually at the wedding, or is it you do a preview beforehand?
At the wedding.
I usually
stand not far away from the sculpture and just wait for the bride and groom and take a picture of their expressions, their face expressions when they see the ice sculpture, and it's really incredible. It's awesome. I just love those pictures because their faces are every time are just like, wow. Those are the best photos.
And that's really what it is in terms of all the other vendors. That's what we really work so hard for is those moments like that when people are really appreciating your work and you're seeing the impact of what you're doing on them. And I think that's really exciting. And the fact that you're able to spend so much time really getting to know them and finding out what their story is and pouring that really into the ice so it doesn't become just a functionary, you know, wedding A, B, or C. That's when I think you can really take your company and take the wedding and take your artwork to a deeper level. We even do that with our music company where I find out information about them. We had a couple recently that he proposed to her while they were out jogging. So I got them size 22 white sneakers. They had all the wedding guests sign the sneakers. And we gave it to him at the end of the night as a special gift. And things like, I mean, the band itself is incredible and stuff, but the things that really can take it to another level are those little extra things that make it like the Brooklyn Bridge story, which you talked about, and the fact that the top vendors are the people that dig deeper than just kind of functionary going through the services and like, here we go, contract number 281. But there's so much, everybody has their story and things they've been through and how they met and what they love. And when you tap into those things, that's what's really going to make you truly an artist. And everybody gets more out of it. You get more out of it. The bride and groom gets more out of it. The guests at the wedding, you know, look at this, and they really are able to learn more about the bride and groom just from seeing that piece of art, ice sculpture. And it's pretty spectacular. And that's what we always have to keep up. And that is really the challenge of being in business for a long time. And how long have you had your company?
I have been sculpting since 89, so that's about 24 years.
24 years.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had my business in Venezuela for about 12 years, and then Jeannie and I, we were freelancing all over Europe and Alaska and here in the States for about 4 years, and then we opened Art Below Zero in 2002. And that's when we started everything. Our main area of service is Chicago, the Chicago-Milwaukee corridor.
Okay, great. And so after, you know, being a business that long, it's really important to keep growing and keep evolving and learning, like you said in the beginning, in terms of studying with other master sculptors, artists, and figuring out what the latest technologies are, and that's going to keep that level of enthusiasm. But I think something that that you and Jeannie really bring to the table is not only your technique, because there are certainly people that have, you know, maybe equal technical skills, but the fact that you are open-minded enough to say, like, wow, what can we create that's going to be so unique to this particular couple? And using your technique as a way only purely as a of expressing, help the bride and groom express what they love through your art. I think that's just amazing, just really amazing. So congratulations on creating so many different types of artwork for so many different brides all these years. And it's an amazing thing. And everybody should take a look at to see some examples of their fantastic work. Go to artbelowzero.net. That's artbelowzero.net. And you can contact Max and Jeannie at 847-746-3673. And they're located in Frankville, Wisconsin, which is just over the border, I believe. And they do things all over Chicagoland, all over the Midwest. And do you do things out of state as well, or is it mainly in the Midwest?
We service mainly the Midwest, but we have traveled to many different states. So it all depends on the project. Usually, if we can, if the client wants us, we will travel as many as to any place they want us. Or we can we have a really good network of ice sculptors, so we could also refer that bride to good eye sculpture in that area. But we have been doing sculptures in about probably 20 different states.
Okay, wow, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And as you know, of course, the United States has a multitude of different temperatures in different areas of the country, as well as living in Chicago has, it's either too hot or too cold. I think those are the two options you get here in Chicago sometimes. And what if a lot of the wedding season does take place during warm weather, during June, July, August. How do you go about if someone's having an outdoor wedding? What are the precautions or the adjustments you make so that everything can kind of stay intact for the entire wedding?
When we do a sculpture in the summer, we just have to take that into consideration. If the sculpture is indoors, then we have the conditions control. If the sculpture is outdoors, then you know, if it's going to be 110 degrees in the sun, we just design the sculpture accordingly to that temperature, and we agree that, okay, this is a sculpture that's going to be, it's directly in the sun for 110 degrees. It's going to be good for about 4 hours in really, really good shape. Most of the times we just have to look at the event and the event will, the bride will tell us, okay, I need that area just for 2 hours or for 6 hours. So we design the sculpture accordingly and we just go as intricate or less intricate depending to the temperature.
And do you take care of any kind of tables or setup or electrical needs and lighting in terms of that's all stuff that you bring, or is that something that the bride and groom needs to have set up for you?
The bride and groom will need to order the table and the linen from the banquet facility or the hotel. And we provide all the equipment regarding the ice sculpture. We provide the tray. That tray has a hose that goes into a bucket, a drainage tray. The hose goes into a bucket under the table. And then we set up the lights for the sculpture. We grab power. We always come prepared with extension cords, and we also decorate the sculpture around the tray with greens. How you call those? Leather leaf green.
Okay.
So we will take care of everything that is regarding the eye sculpture. We just need the table, if the sculpture goes on the table, because sometimes, in the case of an ice bar, we provide these beautiful acrylic trays that actually look like ice. So those kind of sculptures actually go from the ground up. We also did a really awesome new concept last week. We started doing these ice curtains. And we are playing with hanging the actual sculpture from a truss or from the ceiling of the facility. So we're making these curtains that are hanging, and we can also incorporate, we have a bridal show this Saturday, and we're going to incorporate the monogram in a curtain just hanging from a truss. So it's just a really new concept, and it looks just beautiful.
That must be so fun to be able to see, you know, what else is coming along and what else you can possibly create, and that sounds like an amazing thing. And once again, these are all these examples of the things that they are talking about, that Max is talking about, is found on their website, which is artbelowzero.net. So be sure to zip on over there and take a look at, and if you have some creative ideas, Max and Jeannie are very open to seeing what they can create for you. So really give them a call if you can at 847-746-3673, and their enthusiasm, their experience can really take your concept to the next level, and things that you never thought would even be creative be possible. Their creative minds and experienced minds can really work with you, and using all their saws and chainsaws and knives and hammers and divots and all kinds of stuff can bring it to life. And when you see the actual live version, it'll take your breath away. And I've seen some of these at weddings, and it can really be a very, very unique special touch to bring to your wedding. And throughout the evening, once it's ready, and you set it up, a couple hours ahead of time, I imagine, before the guests arrive?
We try to set up the sculpture an hour and a half before the guests arrive.
Okay. And are they maintained throughout the evening, or is it pretty much set up and ready to go, and then you just come back at the end?
They are zero maintenance during the evening. We usually, sometimes the waiter have to, or somebody in the, working in the hotel, have to check the bucket. It fills up every 4 hours. The rest is zero maintenance, and depending on the sculpture, if it's a one-block sculpture, the bride may choose to let the hotel take care of it at the end of the event, or if it's more than three blocks, like in the case of an ice bar, in that case, we will come back and we'll break down all the get rid of the ice, break down all the equipment, and just leave the place spotless. We like being known for being very, very attention to detail and just as much thoughtful as possible.
That's a big thing, and I think that's probably a concern for some brides that aren't aware. They think it's going to be a giant headache to set it all up, but it sounds like you've got it down to a science where it's a very clean setup and a very clean teardown and everything like that. And if they do have a much more intricate ice sculpture that does have liquid running through it or some kind of interactive quality, that is something that you probably would have to come back for, because I imagine that's there are some parts to it that you actually may recycle or something, or are they pretty much one of a kind things that are just kind of gone forever?
The ice is just used one time.
But any of the you know, mechanics in terms of, you know, having drinks running through them or anything like that, that's all just one of a time as well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, sometimes we do a fountain. Like we did a wedding a couple of months ago, too, and the bride and groom were Harley Davidson fans, so we did an actual motorcycle, Harley Davidson motorcycle.
Wow.
With vodka running through the motorcycle into a bowl, kind of a fountain. So in that case, the actual pumps that we use them over and over. We just have to go through a process of cleaning up before we use it next time. But the ice, we use it one time. The equipment, usually the tray and the lights, and we use it one time too. But if it's a major equipment that you know, we try to use it as many times as possible.
Mm-hmm. And what if somebody wants to take, like, that motorcycle, which is just so spectacular, you can take all kinds of photos, but what if the client wants to somehow take it home with them? Is that something you allow them to do, or is it just too physically, you said some of these things are 300 pounds, which not the average person can transport. Is that something that you make available to them if they want to do it?
It is possible. We actually, there's many times when if it's a one-block sculpture where they say, we'll take care of it at the end of the event, and they ended up putting the sculpture in their truck and taking it home. Like in the Midwest, sometimes it could be cold for weeks at a time. So the sculpture can be used for the wedding, and then they take it home and they have it in their yard for about 2 months. So it is possible. We just have to we just make sure that everybody's safe and that there's no risk of 300 pound blocks of ice. So we make sure that they have the right equipment to move the sculpture, take it anyway.
Yeah, because if you've got some really, I mean, I would think that motorcycle one alone would be spectacular to have, since you spent so much time putting that all together. And I imagine you spend, since you've spent so much time and creativity, not only designing it, but actually executing and creating it, you very, very well document all of these, I assume, right? And you've got thousands of examples of all your work, right?
Yes, we have a gallery, an ice gallery in our website. Photos and videos are the only thing I'm going to be able to show my grandkids, so
okay.
It's very important for us to have a spectacular gallery of ice sculptures. We have about 800 images on the website, and they are all divided in categories. So there's corporate events, there's weddings, there's functional sculptures, seafood displays, centerpieces, holidays. So we have everything divided in sections in the website. So it's a lot easier to navigate and through all the galleries. Right now we're also using a lot of Facebook. And Facebook, because the website I updated probably a couple months a year, but in Facebook I'm loading pictures pretty much every day and different new projects and new ideas. So it's a really good way of keeping in touch with our clients every day and giving them ideas 24 hours a day.
And I imagine Pinterest has certainly been a big part of your work as well, is that kind of really has exploded quite a bit for, especially for brides and people that are looking for creative projects. Do you interact a lot with Pinterest? Do you have brides that come in with different ideas that they found on Pinterest?
Yes, we do. That's the best. I was so happy when they created that concept, because we are an image-based company, and it's just very hard to explain with words or blogs, but Pinterest is just an image-based kind of service. So we actually, what brides do is they create a gallery with a board with their favorite sculptures for their wedding, and those boards could be locally. I mean, could be a bride that is buying a sculpture from us, or it could be a bride in Japan or in Paris. So I believe that we are by having such a huge gallery and having just a different, very different, very passionate style of ice sculpting. We are contributing to the ice sculptures, not only in the Midwest, but globally.
Yeah, that's incredible, the type of creativity that is going on in the ice sculpturing business, and certainly your contribution to it has been remarkable. And you can see, once again, great examples of their work at the artbelowzero.net website. Now, let's say somebody, you've convinced them that this is such a fantastic thing to have at their wedding, having a nice sculpture. They want to do it. They sit down at their computer with their fiancé. It's late at night, and they go into Google, and they put in Chicago ice sculpturing, and they start to look at all these different companies, all these different websites. What are the main factors that they should take into consideration when choosing what would be the best ice sculpturing company? What makes one really better than other, and what are some of the questions they should be asking these ice sculpturing companies as they are considering hiring them over another one?
Well, I would say one of the main, the most important topics will be passion. How much passion you see in their website, how much passion they put in their work. So, because that amount of attention to details will make a big difference in your sculpture service. How easy is to get a hold of the company? What kind of service do you get over the phone? Reputation. There's many ways of checking reputation through social media and making sure that the company has an excellent reputation, that has been on time in every event and has a list of hundreds of happy clients. Integrity, you know, in our case, we put everything, we put all our lives and passion into our business, and we go out of the way. We try to give 110% in every sculpture to every client. So service, attention to detail, passion, and integrity, I think, is the most important things that you need to consider in an ice sculpting company.
Absolutely. I would also add to that variety. I mean, that's one of the things that really impressed me the most about your website is that you have such a wide variety of different types and shapes and sizes of work to choose from. That's not cookie cutter in any way. The ability to customize things on a much deeper level, I think, really sets you guys apart from being just a kind of an average ice sculpture and company that can kind of, here's your swan, here's your city skyline or whatever. You can really take things to a purely artistic level on a wide variety of different styles and shapes and everything.
Thank you very much.
So as we wrap up here, we would like to thank our fabulous guest, Max Zuleta, and we really appreciate you being on today's show.
Thank you very much, baby. It has been a pleasure.
Great, and we really appreciate Jeannie helping out as well there, as a fabulous business partner and wife who's helped guide the company and really helped develop Art Below Zero to the business that it has become, along with Max's fantastic and creative artwork. And once again, to contact Max and Jeannie, feel free to call them directly at 847-746-3673. And they're located in Frankville, Wisconsin, which is just over the border. And they would love to speak with you. They'd love to find out what your visions are. Their website, once again, is artbelowzero.net. And if you'd like some fabulous music to go along with your fabulous ice sculpture, feel free to take a look at our website, which is drsmusic.com. That's drsmusic.com. And this show, along with all the other shows that we've recorded on our radio show, Wedding 101, are archived by category. So feel free to do that. We've just passed 22,000 listeners to the program. Please share this. Tell all your friends on Facebook. Email all your friends. If you have any ideas for topics, shows, or guests, we would love to hear that. And we want to wish you all the best for a fabulous, amazing, spectacular, personalized wedding. We hope to see you soon. Be sure to tune in to other upcoming shows. They'll be listed on that page. And thanks so much to Max for being such a great guest. I know I've learned a lot about ice sculptures and hope you have too. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and have a great night. Bye-bye.